Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
I don't know if you've had this happen in your walk with the Lord, but you have an experience with Him somewhere along the line in life, a relationship with Him, an experience with Him, or maybe you've gone to some revival or a conference somewhere, and God's Spirit and presence is just so real, and you recognize Him, and you feel so moved upon in your soul and spirit, and a conviction and a gratitude and all of these things, and maybe you're in a place where God, demonstrates His presence the way He moves upon people, and you can just see that God is involved. And maybe it's a little alarming, maybe it's new, but as time goes on, you look back at it and you think, man, that is so great. I was so touched, so moved upon. And then as time goes by, maybe there's a season of that, and then it's like, well, where did that go? What happened to that? And there's a variety of things that can transpire where we feel like, well, we grew cold, or we've been disobedient or whatever. We have to search our own self with the help of the Holy Spirit to make things right again. But many times we look back and say, and we mark those experiences as that's the pinnacle, that's the goal, that's the way it should always be. And I understand that. Certainly in principle, in God's Word, that doesn't change. But sometimes we go chasing and looking for what was, okay? And I understand that. I've done that. It's just that we're looking for more. We're looking for something that we were so moved on before that we want to feel that again. We want to know that again. And so we chase. We look for that and understand that the motive isn't wrong. But sometimes we have to recognize that is what God was doing then. I'll tell you a little story that came out of this last week. I was sitting with another pastor who I've known. It was nice to see him again. I had lost contact with him, and he has been to Cuba and that. And we were talking, and he was sharing something that the superintendent of Cuba, the Assemblies of God, Hector Hunter, shared. You see, there was a time in the, maybe 3 to 7 years ago when God was doing some powerful things and still is in Cuba. But one of the things that was happening, which was amazing, you have to remember the poverty of this country, they don't have dental plans there. And a lot of the dental work is they can go to a dentist and they can say, okay, we've examined you. This is what we need to do. If you go get the materials and the tools, I'll take care of you. Well, slim chance of that. And so there's a lot of dental problems that people face in Cuba. And what was happening as God was growing the church, He would show up by His Spirit and His presence in church services, people's teeth would be fixed. A miracle. Healing. Dramatic. People with such terrible teeth and they would be filled and fixed. And in fact, the stories go on and on. And this was all over this area in Cuba, a particular area. This happened a lot. And people would just be walking by the church, not going to the church. They're not Christians. They were just walking by and they would feel something. And their teeth are fixed. And this was happening. It became commonplace for a season. And at the decline of that season, the church was still growing and things were still happening. And Pastor Hunter was asked, how come this isn't happening like it was before or it was happening all the time? And now it rarely happens. Oh, it happens once in a while or, someone's teeth are fixed or filled or, how come that's not continuing? What's happening? Because there's this question that we have, and the person who was asking him was, of course, from the United States. because our mentality is a little different. It means if it's not the same, that means something obviously has changed and it's our fault and, you know, God isn't doing it. So, you know, what are we not doing now that we were doing before that this was happening? And Pastor Hunter said something interesting. He said, "Brother, that's what God was doing then. We got to find what God is doing now." What a great perspective. You look at what happened in the, you know, early at the turn of the century or in the middle 90s, late 90s, with revivals and outbreaks happening throughout the United States. And certainly there were some, distribution centers of God's outpouring, certainly in the United States. You can kind of call it that if you want. And many of you maybe were there, have gone, and I've been to those places and great experiences and watched them happen at staff, at churches where I was on staff or pastoring. Remarkable days, tremendous days. Okay, and of God's outpouring and miracles and people being revived and restored and awakened and saved and filled with Spirit with evidence and all of these things going on. And then I watched where some of that faded, and I watched where pastors and churches thought, what happened or what did we do wrong? And, you know, it wasn't because they were necessarily grieving the Spirit or quenching the Spirit. It was that God was now moving and doing something different. And we were busy, caught looking somewhere else. And a lot of churches that had great outpourings of His Spirit, genuine outpourings of His Spirit, we look back and that church has not done so well. Because they didn't recognize that that's what God is doing now. And they thought they needed to continue. And when God started doing something different, they missed it. And they couldn't handle it, and they thought it should be this way. And Pastor Hunter followed up with saying, that's what God was doing then. What He's doing now by His miraculous power is that He wants us to train pastors. What a great understanding. And certainly things that God has done in the past, He can do again. We've watched Him do things that seems very similar from different times. The way He moved upon people, the way He moved upon churches, the way He moved upon individual lives. And we have to recognize, what is God doing now? What is He wanting to do in me now? And some of it may not seem as dramatic as maybe some revival services at this point, or some outpourings. But He's still moving by His Spirit. And it's to be fruitful. It's not that it has to look like something before, that we somehow in our minds think this is the gauge, this is a standard, this is what it always looks like when God does something. We have to discover, what is God doing now? What is He wanting me to do or become? How is He leading? What is He saying to me? What is He saying to the church? I want you to turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 1. This is a familiar verse. And Mary, I don't want you to have to put anything up on the screen yet. We'll wait. Acts chapter 1, verse 7, we'll read in verse 8. Jesus said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by His own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and because He comes on you, He gives the power to be His witness. His witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth, or the ends of the earth, or engulfing the whole earth to those very faraway places." There's something that I'm going to share with you this morning. And I'm going to tell you a story and how things have unfolded. And an opportunity has been presented to us as a church. I'm going to tell you about that. This is not news to the board. Deacons, they've been aware. We have considered, we've thought, and we want to share with you this morning what that opportunity is for us as a church. Why don't you go ahead and put up that first screen? There's something that that our national office, specifically our district, is wanting to see happen with existing churches. They want to see us as churches begin as the money that we give away towards missions. By the way, the Assemblies of God, I'll just tell you, the Lord has allowed us to be, and I will use this word not in arrogance, but just in the way that it happens, exceptional in foreign missions giving. The Assemblies of God is a missions giving fellowship, okay? Missions giving. It just kind of always has happened. It was birthed out of the move of the Spirit. We've always believed that it's a call, it's a principle, it's something we do. We send people, we train missionaries, we give a lot of money to foreign missions. Well, churches, local churches like this church, we've always been kind of heavy in the foreign missions giving. And then we always do a little bit in home missions. And every once in a while, a church will do something with a church plant. What they would like to see happen, and I'll explain why, like to see happen is they'd like to see that out of the money that we give as a church, every church, that they would like to see us work towards this goal. Not change what we're giving now to foreign missions. Continue to uphold that and obviously to let that grow. But to increase and look at how we break down all the monies that we give towards missions. They'd like to see us continue with foreign missions and the total that we give, that we would give 60%, okay, of what we already give, of what we give away. So in other words, let's just use some round numbers here. Let's use big numbers because that's always fun. Okay, let's say this church gives $100,000 a year to missions at some level. They would like to see us give 60,000, yeah, 60,000 of that every year to foreign missions. Then they'd like to see us give 20,000 to home missions. Now, home missions and foreign missions, you pretty much understand, don't you? It's giving it to missionaries who go cross-culture or international, okay? The faraway places, the uttermost places of the earth. Home missions consists, and I'll give you some examples so you can understand it. We've got Teen Challenge in Milwaukee, okay? A Teen Challenge ministry. So we support that, and it's things like that. Home missions churches. See, there's different classifications of churches, and some are called home missions. They're not totally on their own yet, but they've been existing for a while, and they still need some help and support to get to the place where they become a church that isn't dependent upon the district. Okay, and so home missions church, Teen Challenge. We've got something called City on a Hill in Milwaukee. What a great ministry! I can't say enough good about that ministry and the leadership of that ministry in Milwaukee. Our teenagers have gone several times now to go and help for a day. We have sent money and done things like that. We've invested in their leader as a church. Some of you wouldn't be aware of all this. I mentioned from time to time. We've invested in their leadership to get trained even. We've just sent money to go help them. And so things like that are home missions. They're home meaning it's domestic. It's here in the United States. And so they'd like to see us, of what, all that we give 20%. Then they'd like to see this here begin to happen for every church, because this is where we have been lean, is 20% given to church plants. Now, why? Let me share with you a couple of reasons why this is very important. We read about power to be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the earth. Jesus was telling them that they had power to lay down their life and be witnesses for him right there at home. In Judea, these were places that they walked and they knew other than the uttermost parts. They just knew that area was bigger than, you know, where they have gone. The world is bigger and the gospel's got to spread and they get to be a part of that. And so church planting, what they've discovered right now and what's happening is that existing churches right now Across the denominational and fellowship lines in America, the churches are not growing. They're declining. The Assemblies of God is kind of hanging on with maintaining as far as growth and development and new converts. Where they're seeing the growth come from is churches that are being planted, new churches. Okay, so they find an area, a location, and there's a variety of ways that a church can be planted, and they plant a church there, and they start with usually with some existing Christians, and they watch this church grow, and it's not just church transfer, it's new converts, and this is where they're seeing growth come from, right now, and one of the methods of evangelism that's taking place that is showing fruit. And so as they look at this, if churches, think about this, if churches are maintaining or in decline, and all they give is to foreign missions heavily, and a little to home missions and nothing to church planning, where the growth is coming from, what's eventually going to happen to our foreign missions giving? It's going to go down because the existing church is in decline. Home missions giving will decline. But if we continue to be a part of giving to foreign missions and home missions, and we allocate a percentage of what we give to the Lord to advance His kingdom, not just overseas and not just domestic ministries that are affiliated with the church, but we also invest in reaching people here at home in evangelism through church plant, because that's where we're seeing the growth happen. That's where we're seeing people saved. And so they say, if we start giving to that, then we can raise new churches up who will also be a part of giving to foreign missions, home missions, and church planting. It brings a stability in building God's kingdom and advancing it here at home, in the region of the United States, and around the world. That's the understanding. That's just in a nutshell why they're concerned and why they want to see this happen. And they look at a scripture like Acts chapter 1, verse 8. We know that the Holy Spirit is the one who gives us power to be His witnesses, and an anointing sits on us, and an empowerment to do things beyond our natural ability. And if you're in this room, I want to encourage you to seek the Lord. Jesus is the baptizer. He baptizes with the Spirit. He gives us a power to supersede our natural tendencies, to do things through us that we could not do on our own, regardless of our talent, ability, skill, looks, background. It doesn't matter, because it's by His Spirit, right? Not by might, not by power, but by His Spirit, says the Lord. That's the scripture. And so we understand that. In the practice of how that happens, they're looking at how we give as churches. Understand, they're looking to build the kingdom. This isn't about the district or the national office mandating to us how you give your money away and this, you know. They're saying, listen, we've watched this. Something's happening. How do we answer it? How do we continue to give? How do we build God's kingdom? When we know that it takes resources. And so they've come up with this 60-20-20 that seems to make sense. It's not withdraw from giving foreign missions. We continue to give foreign missions. We're not looking at the, you know, saying, well, what we give, now we only have to give 60% of that to foreign missions. No. Continue to give to foreign missions. And we want that to settle somewhere around the 60%, but make sure that we're doing something for home missions. And of all the money we give away, that should be at least 20%. Church plant, 20% that we give to help other churches get planted. At the beginning of summer, do you remember when it came to you, it was end of May, early June, and said, we just came out of a board meeting, and we felt as a church that we wanted to do something in faith again this summer. And we want to take 25% of what comes in the general tithes and offerings and give it towards missions or a missions project or a church plant or something where we give it away, okay? And yet we have a goal. The 25% won't totally meet the goal of 20,000. And so you and I got to partner together above and beyond and give. And Do you remember at the end of August, early September, or it's late September. Where's the time gone? I'm just catching up. I said early September, I gave you a report that said, hey, we had a $20,000 goal, right? And do you remember that we gave just over $23,000 that we're going to give to some foreign mission, home mission, church plant, something. We're going to do something with it. We're giving it away. Remember that? Well, shortly after that, and actually the phone call was probably prior to that, where I got a call from a couple of fellas who have known me from the past. I can say that now because I'm old. And I got the call and said, we're looking at planting a church in the Rice Lake, Wisconsin area. And Randy, would you, your church, consider being the parent church? Which, without going into all the details, being a parent church is where you kind of mother and parent a church plant. A new church starts, and you're the mama, you're the daddy to that church, kind of. There's a financial commitment that goes with it. There is commitments that you make as the pastor, because you're there for that pastor who's planning the church to coach and encourage and all of those things. And there's some other responsibilities that go with it, and I don't want to bore you with all of that. And I said, you know, we'd consider that, want to know some more about it. Obviously want to talk to our board. And so one thing that I kept tripping over was that's like 3 hours away. I mean, we're fine with giving money, but I can't really commit to the role of us being a parent church or the pastor because I can't be running 3 hours away all the time to, you know. I'm not pastoring the church, but we're there for the church and for the pastors. It's just somehow the geographically, that's just difficult to do. And so I kept tripping over that. And the district office called me. And we have somebody in the district office known as Pastor Galen Hendrickson, who pastored in Marshfield for many years, and he is now at the district, and his job title responsibilities have to do with missions, home missions, and church planning. He knew that they called me and asked me about this, and he said, Randy, could we get together, and could we talk about this? I want to share some information with you. I said, yeah, absolutely, Galen. We're glad to do that. And he showed up here for our lunch, and along with him came our district superintendent, Larry Levy. And so we went for a bite to eat, and the conversation was about planting this church in Rice Lake. So I thought, I said, you know, I'm tripping over this being so far away. And they said, we understand that. We're not here to tell you not to do it. That is what you feel God leading you or what your church feels, your leadership feels that we should do. But certainly parent churches are normally, they're a little closer geographically. And I said, yeah, I'm having a hard time with that. I mean, it's not the money thing. We're glad to do something. We're glad to help. We're, you know, New Life, and I spoke on your behalf. You know, they're a good people, they're a generous people, they have a heart for the Lord and for God's kingdom, and you know, so I said, we understand that, but I don't know that we can commit to being a parent church and to them. And I said, I still need to think about that. And then the other shoe dropped. You see, there are some places in Wisconsin traditionally, or in the history of the Assemblies of God, that we have not had churches. Or if we've had a church in an area, there weren't enough churches. And they're concerned about some areas in Wisconsin where they feel they really want to plant a church. And so they said to me, hey, Randy, what about planting a church in La Crosse? I said, I'm not a church planner. Thanks. I appreciate that. I'm pastoring here in Sparta. Pastoring at New Life. I mean, I'm giving them all the stuff they already know. And I said, but, you know, that's all right. You know, God bless you. I think, yeah, you know, we've got a church in Onalaska. You know, they run probably, I don't know, somewhere 7,500 people, something like that. There's another church in La Crosse, New Beginnings. It's a smaller work out of a storefront. And I said, you know, they're over there. And they began to tell me, you know, La Crosse is 65,000 people, surrounding area, you're at 95,000 people. That city could hold a few Assembly of God churches. It's just one of the areas of Wisconsin. I said, yeah, that's really nice. So anyhow, this Rice Lake thing, and they said, yeah, what about you planting a church? I said, listen, I'm not a church plant. I'm not going to even pray about that, guys. I told them that. I said, I'm not going to even pray about that. I'm not praying about it. Because they were like, well, just pray about it and give us a call and we'll talk some. I said, I'm not praying about it. And the reason I said that was not because I didn't care. It's that in here, you kind of already know the answer. You know what I mean? It's like, how is God going to say no to planting a church somewhere? Tell me how that works. You follow me? And so I said, I'm not, guys, love you. Hey, great. Yeah, call us. I said, I'm not praying about it. In fact, when I first talked to the board, I said, guys, I want you to know as I'm sharing this idea that the district has come to me to look at planting a church in La Crosse. I said, I want you to know I'm not praying about it. I know, I'm the pastor. I'm supposed to be spiritual. I'm supposed to just, you know, ooh, Jesus, I'm going to, you know, fast and pray for 3 weeks. I said, I'm not praying about it. Well, after they left town, I went about not praying about it. Kind of like this. I think about it in your presence, but I'm not talking to you about it. So as I'm thinking and you hear my thoughts, those are not prayers. You follow how that, you get the picture? I'm not asking you if you want me to do this or want us to do this. I'm not. That's not what I'm doing. I'm just thinking about it. It was a day and a half after they left, and I called Galen Hendrickson, Reverend Galen Hendrickson at the district office, and said, I just want to talk to you about this a little bit more. Need a little information. I want to chat with you, okay? I got a little more information, just had a brief conversation with him. And I've not prayed, but I've casually talked to the Lord about it some more. called a board meeting. Shared with the board about how they approached us. And the idea is, so that you can understand a little bit of the practice, and I'll get into this a little bit more because there's a whole bunch involved, is one of the ways we plant churches is you go out and you hire a pastor, and maybe married, maybe has kids, and now they've got to go and raise funds to support themselves, kind of like a missionary does, okay? They got to run around and get support and come up with some money. And then you find a parent church who commits to giving X amount of dollars. And now they go and they plant this church. Well, that's a big commitment because you're responsible now, kind of as a parent church, for this family. You understand? And they said, Randy, you don't have to do it that way. And he began to share with how he did it. He said, what you do is you find a preaching point, and you don't have to hire anybody. And what you do is you find a preaching point, and you, obviously there's more to it than this, but you find a preaching point and hold services, and you go and preach. So you pastor and you preach in Sparta, and then you preach at this preaching point. And as something develops and continues to grow there, then, you know, there are those options of hiring somebody or handing it off or whatever happens. Okay? And they said, the risk is low. It's not like you've asked some family to come from somewhere, raise funds, and go over there, and then if it didn't work, what do you do to this family? I mean, would you want to be that family? I mean, raise your hand, sign up. You know, that's a hard thing. And so I said, just find a preaching point and begin to do that and train some people, and you start to plan a church. And so I shared that with the board. We thought and prayed and took some time and convened together, held a meeting with Galen Hendrickson, had him come in and share with the board what he did as a pastor, what he does at the district. I let them do Q&A, question and answers, back and forth, and talk and share. And this last board meeting in early September, we talked about it. We discussed it as a board. And the board has committed to being behind this, and to that our intention, I understand this is not a promise in the sense, I'm not trying to be conservative here. The decision was made with the intention to plant a church in La Crosse. Why don't you throw up screen number two, Mary, if you would. What is required of a church plant if we go according to the district plan, because there's some help there for the parent church and the church plant? And $10,000, if it's raised by the church plant, and $10,000 is raised by the parent church, then the district office gives $10,000. So a church plant can start with $30,000. Now, there is also a program that's from our national office that if you come up with that $30,000, we'll match it for $30,000. And I need to get the details on this because I was a little misled at the beginning, and I don't have all of them. But basically, that $30,000 was a loan from the national office. And, you know, they make it very palatable and easy to pay back and all of that. I was a little misinformed, and so I'm waiting for the information. My understanding now, without knowing the details, just, and I hesitate to share things I don't have the details for because I don't want you to run with it, but it is paying back a small percentage of that. But then what would the difference would be over time, that church plant would end up not paying the loan back, but investing that same amount of money over time into the ministry of another church plant somewhere else. Isn't that cool? Isn't that great? So the three big deals right now that you could put on a prayer list, as we have committed intentions, understand that, committed intentions to look at doing this, is we have the $20,000 that we started to give at the beginning of June that we didn't even know that this was, we didn't even know that this was even out there. This is not, I'll be honest with you, this is not a burden I carry to say, oh, we got to plant a church in La Crosse. Somebody had to come and talk to me about it, and then I still didn't want to pray about it. Okay? So we need to pray about the funds. We have the $20,000 out of what is given this summer. And I'll tell you what we want to do as a board. There's an additional $3,000+ that was given. Remember, gave over $23,000 this summer. Do you remember that? The additional $3,000-something, we want to take as seed and give it to another church plant in our state somewhere, in our district. So you know what? We want to plant a church. We want to do this. It's not buying or assuring something or trying to leverage God and say, look at the good thing we did, so make this successful. Okay? But it's a principle. We want to give. Okay? More, you know, and basically, when you look at the 30,000, it's pretty close to like a tithe. Okay? We want to give, all right, the balance away to another church plant somewhere in our district to help them get going. Because not every church plant is there a pastor or a church body that says, yeah, go ahead and, you know, do two services, two different locations, preach and back and forth and do that. So they're looking at hiring somebody or they're looking at giving money to let somebody else do it. And not every place is willing to do or can do something like this. The second thing that we really need to be praying about is a location. We've not gone so far as, hey, let's go get a building. And we, honest, unless money fell from heaven, which is possible, you know, to everybody's putting their hands up. not looking at purchasing a place. This is renting a place. It is, don't know if it's an empty car dealership. Don't know if it's a high school gymnasium where you set up and tear down every week. Don't know any of that. Can't come to you with that information. I'm only coming to you with the committed intention and the vision and the passion and the heart that sparked a new life. I mean, we think church planning is for the churches who are, you know, 2,000 people. They've discovered that the large churches aren't necessarily growing. And the more that we commit to planting, his kingdom is built at a more expedient rate. Their vision in the district office is that if a church plant goes into La Crosse and the time that it gets to like 300, 350 people, is that that church would in turn invest 50 people and do another church plant somewhere in the La Crosse area. And so that is something we need to really discover that the Lord needs to bring to the forefront is a location. And I want you to know this. We are not looking to be in the existing location, in the backyard of River of Life in Onalaska or in New Beginnings downtown. We're not looking at being in somebody's backyard. This is not a competition thing. This is a kingdom thing. Understand that. And we want to be praying about that. Kingdom perspective. We need a location. We need God to bring it to the forefront. And then the other thing you can put on your prayer list, and maybe you can write these things down, is just that that the training of somewhere around 25 people to give a one-year commitment to this church plant that will come out of this church body, okay? It's not like you run over to La Crosse and say, hey, is there any Christians around here? We want to, you know. And so understand when it says preaching point and location, initially, this is just probably a Sunday morning service. This is not running a nursery and all the children's programs and evening service. And, you know, it's not, listen, this church didn't start out like that. It started with a service. And as grows and develops, that body becomes healthy and has its own people, parts of the body, doing works of ministry. Okay? Just like you have become here. And so, you know, it doesn't start with all that. It's simply having a service, a worship service, winning souls, inviting people, ministering to people, praying with people, giving people the word, giving them an experience with God. Okay? And as they grow, saved and grow and develop, it becomes a church plant and a church. That is the goal. And so these are some things that you can be praying about. There are still questions that I have. I don't have all the answers about this. I don't know how everything's going to play out. And you're thinking, Sunday morning, Randy, how are you going to do that? What will probably happen is this service, because right now we allow you to sleep in, we'll start at 7 a.m. No, I'm kidding you. I'm messing with you. And now, don't hold me to this. This is just because I know you have questions, and I don't have answers to all your questions, and I don't want to necessarily open up to a bunch of questions this morning because I'll be doing a lot of this. I don't know. Thanks for asking. I don't know. Thanks for asking. I don't know. Okay? But if we look at a Sunday morning, what will happen is this service would potentially start about a half an hour earlier. Start at 9 a.m. Give me a break, guys. That's still pretty late. Okay? Around 9 a.m., and the service in La Crosse or La Crosse area may start at like 10 or 10:30, somewhere in there. And what would happen here is because you're an existing church and you're a mature church and all of those things, and I'm not blowing smoke at you, it's just you're existing and you're on your way and you know what it's about and you're seeking the Lord, and yeah, there's new people and you know how to assimilate them and greet them and put your arms around them and pray, you know, all those things, that, and you don't need to sing, you know, 3, 4, 5 choruses first to, you know, okay, now I'm ready for the word. I know that that helps, but God's Spirit will help us as we look forward to doing any type of outreach ministry. So understand that, you know, probably what will happen is there will be a, like a song up front, some announcements, and the preaching will probably come first. And then worship, would, the praise and adoration will probably come afterwards, during maybe some altar time or right after communion. And, do you follow? Because after the preaching and that ministry time is done, I'm in my vehicle, which a deacon has already started my car and pulled it up. So that I can move through here, get in the vehicle, and go to a service in La Crosse that has already started. Okay? So they're going to worship and praise and that kind of stuff first. And I can come and hopefully catch the end of that and then speak and minister. All right? And so this is... something new. Understand that if we look at being committed to something like this, you're called to be a parent. Do you understand what that? Those of you who have had children, do you understand what that means? Okay, if you've never had children, have you ever had a dog or a horse? Or, you know, you become the caregiver, and you become the help with the provider, and you raise us till the child, the can take care of its own self. And so the board, I was so pleased with the response of our deacon board that they didn't just hear it and go, oh yeah, okay, let's do it. And yet they didn't say, oh no, we're not going to, you know. They said, well, we're going to think about it. We're going to pray. We got lots of questions. I said, yeah, me too, especially because I'm not praying about it. And some of them didn't. In fact, that question came up at our last meeting. He said, you know, you haven't prayed about this. What, you know, what's that all about? And I had to communicate the intention of what I meant because it wasn't all clear to everybody. I was like, why aren't you praying about this? And the intention was, I don't want to pray about this because I know God's going to say, hey, giving you this opportunity, this is what my Spirit is doing now. This is evangelism. This is, you know. I already knew that, hey, I don't want to be the pastor or the church that says no to something like that. I don't want to carry that. It's different if we were 15 people and we had debt of, you know, and you're just like, this is not the time, this does not make sense, we're all about faith, but we can't cut off our own legs to go do something. We're not at that place. We're at a very different place. And we want to continue to reach people in Sparta and through this area. Hey, listen, go ahead and put up the last. We read Acts chapter 1, verse 8. You know, if you want to draw a little geographical parallel to us, through this process, and understand, I have never seen myself as a church planner, and I'll be honest with you, I still don't see myself as a church planner. I just don't see it. I've been asked years ago from another district office when I served there, they said, hey, I know you're on staff here, but, you know, there's some places. Would you ever consider church planting? I think you could do this. I'm like, I am not your guy. Okay, there are things that I am comfortable doing and knowing that I can do, and I don't mind going out on a limb, but I'm not a pioneer. I'm not a church planter. My history has been taking something that existed that maybe wasn't healthy or something that was broken, and you come in and you turn the ship around and get it going in the right direction, and it starts to grow and develop. That has been the track record for me as a pastor. Church planting? Nothing. I don't need... You know, get one of these Bible college graduates who are all fired up and been trained in this. I'm an old dog now. And so, you know, you got to be praying for me because, and I mean that sincerely, because we go ahead with this committed intention. It's not about driving back and forth. That's the easy part. That it's not about preaching twice on Sunday morning. That's not, it's a challenge, but I don't find that difficult. It's all the stuff in between. I need the Lord's prayer. I need your prayers to the Lord to help me and help us as a church body, because I'm not parenting this alone. This isn't just about me going. You're the mama. All y'all. Okay? And, you know, not to take the scripture out of context, but because these places that Jesus, you know, spoke of to his disciples when he said, you'll have power to be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. Those specific places, the disciples were at those places with Jesus. And those places represent something to him, to these disciples. They remember what happened in Jerusalem. They remember Judea. They remember, you know, Judea where Jesus was rejected and going to be stoned, thrown off a cliff. And they're thinking, Judea? You, power to be witnesses there? They rejected you there. How in the world are we going to go there? Samaria, the place of prejudice. All these places meant something to them, but geographically, Jerusalem was kind of the center and their home. And I look at, you know, if we are called as Christians to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts, yes, resources, part of what we do. We can't all go everywhere, but we can send people. We can pray, right? And that's what we're called to do as a church, as Christians. And so I look at this power to be as witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the innermost parts. It's geographically, without taking the scripture out of context, you know, Sparta's in this area is our Jerusalem. Judea talks about a little further out, a little bit of a region. I look at that being a church plant somewhere in our region. You look at Samaria, and it's kind of like some of the home missions things or domestic ministries inside the borders of our country. And uttermost places like foreign missions, places that many of us will never go, but our prayers go, and we want to help send people who are called to go, and we will give money to do that because we care. We have a God view, a biblical worldview. We want others to be saved and baptized and become disciples. You know, it's Matthew 28, all right, verse 19. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them, making disciples. When we look at La Crosse and the number of people, and there are other churches doing their job there. This is not a, please, this is not a competitive thing. This is not a, hey, we can do it better. That is not it. That is not it. It's about saying, you know, we want to respond to biblical principles. And we need Jerusalem to still grow. There are people in Sparta and the Sparta area and your neighborhoods and where you live that still need to hear the gospel, whether they attend this church or another church, doesn't matter. It's about his kingdom. It's about his kingdom. This is not the only funnel of God's Spirit is new life. That is not true. We are part of his kingdom. We are one local church. But we want to be a living church. We want to be a healthy church. We want to be a biblical church. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Power to be witnesses in your Jerusalem, in your Judea, whatever that means to you, your Samaria, around the world. What role, what part, how do I respond to that as an individual? How do you respond to that as an individual? How do we respond to that call and that standard of Jesus' words to his followers? Because we're his followers. How do we respond to that? Do we just say, yeah, that was for them, and I'm just fine right here, and this is, you know, my home church? Listen, nobody's, you know, saying, hey, y'all got to go over to the... No, that's not it. You are New Life. I'm the pastor at New Life. Planning a church doesn't change that. Okay? Hey, if for some reason, you know, you are a part of the team that is trained and you've got children and kids. And listen, you're part of New Life. You still got Wednesday night here. Okay? So if some of you are thinking, hey, if I go to the church plant, I only have to go once a week. Well, you still get here on Wednesday night. And if you haven't been, that's another message. We need the Lord's direction. We've made a committed intention. And it's going to involve some work, and it's going to involve some revelation and discovery. But think about this. It almost seems reversed or kind of weird to me, in the sense that in the natural thinking, you would think that there would be a church in La Crosse who's going to plant a church in Sparta. A church, you know, somewhere over there in a larger city that's going to plant some satellite churches and some other campus churches and communities around it, and, you know, in West Salem, or, you know, in Bangor, or, you know, the metropolis of Rockland, or in the... You see? But God has done something here. Listen, we have watched a growth happen in this church. But it's not just about a growth. It's about being healthy. It is about being healthy. It's about becoming a church without spot or wrinkle. That's the goal, to be conformed to his image. Not about just becoming big. It's about being healthy. We want to reach out to people. And if right now, not that God is bound to this and he can do anything any way at any time, and it's not the only, when he does something, it's not like it's the only thing he's doing. You know, he can do all things simultaneously. But if one of the things he is doing in reaching people has to do with a church plant, then we need to look at possibly us being a part of something like that. If that's what he's doing, and it seems to be different than before. I don't know if it's ever been a part of your thinking. Those of you who have been here in the history of New Life, you know, I don't know if you ever dreamt, or the leadership ever dreamt about planting a church or being a mother church to somewhere. I don't know if that was even on the scope. I'll tell you what, it wasn't on my scope. I was called to maybe look at us parenting a church outside of Rice Lake. I was like, I don't know. I don't feel right about it. Something's not, it's not clicking with me. And that I prayed about and I thought about. And then they, you know, kept bringing this up to me over lunch, and I'd change the subject and they'd bring it back up, and I'd go over here and they'd bring it back. And then it started to stir. And that's why I could say I'm not praying about this. It's a step of faith for us. I want you to invest prayer. This church bodily end up investing some people. Certainly we'll invest some funds. But there's roughly in that area 100,000 people. And it's not like there's no church. And traditionally, there are some cities in Wisconsin that we've not done well in, or we haven't had enough churches in an area or fellowship in an area. One of the places is Madison. Another place is La Crosse. And that's right here in our backyard of Judea. I mean, I told them, I said, you know, there's other pastors and churches around this area. I mean, you can go ask them. But somehow, some way, it's fallen before us as an opportunity. And the board, there are men who have taken steps of faith, and yet they look at things that need to be done around here that are going to, you know, that are going to draw on the finances of this church. Okay? They understand that. But even in the midst of that, they're willing to take a step of faith. And over time, as a parent, there will be demands and needs based on us. It's like raising a kid. I mean, they understood in the meeting. They said, okay, we're committing to 20,000, or, you know, 10 from the church plant and 10 from us. It really is 20,000 from this church. But it was, you know, additional missions giving that we didn't. I was thinking it was going to be like last year. We're going to give to some different missionaries, some different projects and things like that. And then in the middle of it came this opportunity. And we looked at, you know, there's other things that are going to have to be done here. But they took a step of faith. And they know that this commitment to 20,000, come on, we're a parent. That's like committing to your kid, I'll give you $100 so you can go do this with your school, your team. You know that's not going to cost $100. It's going to be $150. You know that. I mean, come on, we're parents. We're not foolish. We know what's coming. They understand that we're committing to this, but we know that it's our child. And if they're in need at some point, we're going to have to make a parental decision. And so it's not unending. It's just kind of unknown. But initially, it's what the committed intention is of these men of faith. And they're saying, Pastor, as you share it with this church body, we want them to hear the vision. We want them to hear the heart. We know they're going to have questions. And rightfully so, because all of us still do. But we can't just make a decision somewhere and not bring it to the body or hide it for a long time and say, surprise, there's a building in La Crosse that we've already rent. You know, that's not the way to do this. You and I are a part of this. It's a big task. But understand, those who've, and I'm not saying this is what's going to happen, but from what those who have planted churches over the years, and I used to hear these stories all the time, and I was on staff at churches that planted churches, okay? We watched it happen. You invest people, you make a commitment financially, you pray, and you know what happens to the mama? I'm not saying that's why we're doing this, but you just watch this. It's not without challenge. It's not without sacrifice. But here's the thing. Mama gets blessed. It's just a God's economy. It's God's economy. Financially, it doesn't make sense. People resource, it doesn't make sense. None of that makes sense. But here's the deal. New life, it's not our kingdom. This ain't about your kingdom or my kingdom here at New Life. That we're supposed to be about God's kingdom. God's economy. God's calling the shots. We find our place and we do what he calls us to do and love him and seek him. That's our call as a Christian. Regardless of the church plant. That's been our call always. So you've got something to pray about. You got something to sink your teeth into. You got something to, not with arrogance, okay? It's like when Paul writes that he was proud of. Listen, we got an opportunity here not with arrogance or bragging or anybody else. That's not it. But what a privilege and a humility that is like this. I'm so proud that we have a board and have an opportunity that the district would look at this church and say, you guys over there, you could do this. You could do this. You could do this. Because you know what? They could be talking to a variety of people, not just people from this area. They've got people who are wanting to plant a church. Say, me and my family, we'll go plant a church. They have that. They have those connections. They have those relationships. But they came, and this is Sparta, New Life. You've become this healthy church. And it's not like we're not without challenges or troubles or difficulties or flaws. Become a healthy church. And we want to continue to be healthy. And we want to continue to grow. And we still want to reach people. And we want to build the ministries of God's living church right here. But we're still called to a Judea, a Samaria, and the uttermost parts. I don't have answers to all your questions. I'll just be real honest with you. I won't pretend. I just don't have answers to all of them. This is a step of faith. And it's not with ignorance, but there's some things we just don't know. And I guess even though it's a Judea, it's still kind of an unknown. The unknown places. Would you go back one screen, please, Mary? Can you do that? We need to pray about the financial part. But we need to really pray about a location, that God would establish it, a New Life La Crosse campus. We need to pray about the training of people who will give a year, commit to a year of their Sunday mornings. I understand that this is your church body, these are your friends. And it's not like you don't won't be in fellowship with them and you still have Wednesday night and you still have personal relationship outside of that, but a church plant and Sunday morning is going to be different than what you've known. And God's not calling everybody to do that. And I'm not looking for people to jump out of their pew and say, hey, you know. We're not looking at trying to take people from who lead in specific ministries here and cut our legs off. That's not what we want to do. We know it involves sacrifice, but we're not looking at trying to hurt mama. We're looking at trying to obey the Lord and invest in people and see people saved, touched by His grace. That people would have an opportunity, another opportunity in the La Crosse area to raise their hand like some did this morning. Who this morning? They're maybe not in church. There's no opportunity for them to raise their hand because they're not going anywhere. And they're still caught in trouble and they don't have the peace that you have, that you've discovered in God, in the Lord Jesus. Along with being a mother, and we still need to be mindful of reaching out to people right here. Who'd you invite? Who you're reaching out to? Who'd you go out of your way to have a cup of coffee with this week? Who are we caring about? God uses who we are. And we need still to go through some changes in our life, but He uses who we are, where we are. He uses our interests. I just talked to my mom yesterday. And my dad, who's not really an upfront guy. You've met him, most of you. Not really an upfront guy. And you'll talk with him out here, and he's polite and nice and sometimes a little rough on the edge, soft-hearted, loves the Lord. He has a newer friend. His name is Jim. I talked to my mom yesterday, and Jim and him are setting up deer stands and going to bow hunt together. And Jim was in our kitchen. It was yesterday morning. And he says to my dad, Bob, he says, Bob, I know you're a Christian. And I really need to probably get back to church somewhere. My dad didn't preach at him. My dad's not afraid to tell him that he's a Christian. But my dad just spent time with him, setting up deer stands. That's evangelism. God wants to use you like that. Just to care about people and leave room for God's Spirit to do a work in us and through us and in other people. Don't say no to those opportunities. Those people matter to God. And because He lives in us, they matter to us. Please be praying about this. It's about His kingdom. It's about what He's doing now. And without His Spirit, we don't stand a chance. Here or in La Crosse area. We need His presence. So let Him put His heart in you. Let Him put His heart in you for people. Let Him put His heart in you for people. When I first shared this with the board, it wasn't a way of conversation. I just kind of shared with them. I said, go and think and pray about this. And I watched them. And I remember a couple of faces kind of going, as if to say, why would we do that? It wasn't a lack of faith. It was just the first time hearing it. Kind of like, why would we do that? But as we've talked, as they've had their own time to think about it, as they've prayed about it, as we've gathered together, asking God to lead us, went around the table and said, I feel like it's something we should commit our every intention to do and let God lead us, even in spite of what we don't yet know. What a privilege to give to foreign missions. What a privilege to be looked at and say, can you help us here in Milwaukee? What a privilege for our spiritual leaders, for our district leaders, to come to you and say, would you consider planting a church? Let's stand up together all over this room. What a blessing. I mean, think about this. If God should tarry 12 years down the road, 15 years down the road, and say, oh, you go to Sparta New Life? Haven't you guys like planted like 6 churches? I mean, not as an arrogance, but it's like, yeah, that's one of the ways God's just using us right now. And I'm not saying set the goal. I mean, it could take a year to plant this church that we're talking about today. Could take a year to do it. It could take a few months. We don't know. We got to follow the Lord. We got to follow Him. Let Him lead. And so, I share that with you this morning. Be praying about it. Let God put His heart in you more and more for people. Not just this church plant, but for people. That's what Jesus did. So I'm sorry this morning was not a normal sermon, whatever normal is. But this morning was more of a body time to share an opportunity before us and allow God's Spirit to grab our heart and give us vision and get behind something and understand that we want to continue to be healthy and healthier, but we find ourselves maybe being a mother. What an exciting time this is going to be. A lot of work, a lot of excitement, faith stuff. You don't have to have faith when, in this sense, you don't have to have faith when you show up here in the morning at New Life because you know there's going to be a place to sit. There's a pew here. In a church plant, you show up and go, oh, where are the chairs? Oh, I guess I'm going to help set those up. It's a totally different thing. I remember being in the Bronx in New York City, and every Sunday, we'd show up early, and we'd have to set up chairs in a community building and do two services and then tear them down and pack it all up and go. Every Sunday. I'm telling you, you show up in your Sunday duds, and you are just wringing with sweat when service starts. And it's whatever needs to be done. It's none of this, that ain't my job. I was supposed to do this. It's, I see it needs to be done. I'm doing it, and without complaint. In fact, while I'm setting up these chairs or doing this, God bless the person who's sitting here today and who's going to come here and fill this chair. Lord, nobody's ever sat here before. Fill it. There's just this different attitude and heart coming into something that's not yet established. It's just being conceived. So let's seek the Lord about reaching people round about us in our Jerusalem, in our Judea, in our Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of God's earth.
Thanks for joining us on the Lifecast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.